finished Yar, Aksiv v'chassim atova, we should be inscribed into the Sefer Chayim Tovim, Aruchim Shalom, should be a year just of only good things. Yashar Koach, thank you for listening.
Yashar Koach. Thank you, Rabbi Schwartz, and Yashar Koach for the entire series. I want to thank everyone for coming to learn together this evening. In the past couple of weeks, what we've been discussing are the minhagim and halachos relating to two different parts of the day. We discussed the halachos and minhagim relating to Erev Rosh Hashanah, and then last week we discussed the halachos and minhagim relating to the nighttime of Rosh Hashanah. So this week I'd like to discuss the third part, the next part that naturally follows, is the halachos and minhagim of the daytime of Rosh Hashanah, but with one important caveat. The most important halacha, the most important mitzvah of the daytime of Rosh Hashanah is, of course, Tekiyas Shofar. That's the mitzvah min haTorah that we have during the daytime of Rosh Hashanah, but this is not going to be a shiur about Tekiyas Shofar. We're going to discuss everything but Tekiyas Shofar, the halachos and minhagim that apply to the daytime. I guess it will be this year's daytime of Rosh Hashanah that we'll discuss. But Rosh Hashanah on the first day, we obviously do not blow shofar this year, considering that it's Shabbos. So what I'd like to talk about this evening is the minhag of not sleeping on Rosh Hashanah, what we're supposed to do about Seuda Shlishis this year in Rosh Hashanah, because it's Chal Yos B'Shabbos, the minhag of Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, and then, time permitting, maybe some of the davening issues that come up on Rosh Hashanah as well. So let's start with the minhag of not sleeping on Rosh Hashanah. The Rama writes in Siman Tavkuf, Pei Gimel Si'if Beis, V'gam Noagin Shlo Lishon B'yom Rosh Hashanah U'minag Nachonu. He says that there is a minhag not to sleep on the daytime of Rosh Hashanah, and it is a proper minhag. And the Yerushalmi is quoted by the Taz in Sifkat and Gimel that the reason that we don't sleep during the daytime of Rosh Hashanah is Man D'damich B'reishas HaDamich Mazalei, that a person who goes to sleep in the daytime of Rosh Hashanah, his mazel is sleepy. What in the world does that mean, his mazel is sleepy? So people often mistranslate this and they say, oh, it means you're going to have a sleepy year. And some people say, oh, that's amazing. I'd love to get more sleep during my year. So maybe I should sleep in Rosh Hashanah. That's not at all what it means. His mazel is sleepy. I don't know exactly what it means, but it probably means something along the lines that the malach that's working on his behalf up in Shemayim and that's trying to defend him is going to fall asleep on the job and on Rosh Hashanah, which is an important Yom HaDin where everything is going to be decided for the next year. He needs all the help he can get, so you don't want the Malach falling asleep on the job. However, the Bach quotes that the Maram Rutenberg used to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, so apparently this was not a universally accepted minhag. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Arizal an important qualification to this minhag. The Arizal writes that yes, it's true that one should not sleep on Rosh Hashanah, but after Chatzos, it's okay. Once you're past Chatzos Hayom, then it's fine. That just made this halacha a whole lot easier. When do we typically sleep on Rosh Hashanah anyway? It would be in the afternoon after we finish our Seuda. We don't finish davening usually till after Chatzos. For sure, by the time we finish our Seuda, it's after Chatzos. However, on the flip side, Rav Shechter's pointed out on a number of occasions that l'chora, it means that you would also have to wake up at a los, or at least at neit, meaning you'd have to wake up when the day begins. If we're going to say that the time where your mazel is going to be sleepy, if you go to sleep, is the first half of the day, that means halachically the first half of the day. In fact, in the Elef HaMagen, in Tavkuf Peidal Tzivkan Aleph, he says the same as Rav Shechter points out, that you should wake up early. And I saw quoted from Rav Forsheimer, one of the great poskim in Lakewood, that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky held this way too. Which, curiously, it's interesting, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, Yibadl Ben Chaim L'Chaim, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita, is quoted in Kovetz Halachos, that the entire Inyan is only not to sleep at a time that people are normally awake. But since most people wake up after sunrise on a regular morning, it's fine to do so on Rosh Hashanah as well. So Shmuel did not think you have to take on that chumrah, that if you're going to sleep in the afternoon, they have to take on that chumrah in the morning of being up right away when the sun rises, because he thought that the whole inyan is that don't be lazy. Don't be lazy at a time that you should be taking very seriously. And it reflects a lack of seriousness if you're just going to be napping at at a time where you should be minatzel v'zman. You should take advantage of every moment that we have. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in fact, thought also that it's not necessary to wake up so early. In the Halicha Shlomo, he writes that it's true many people do have a practice of davening Vasikan and Rosh Hashanah, but he says the minhag of davening Vasikan and Rosh Hashanah is not because of this inyan of man d'damich b'rei shasa damich mazale. It's not about that issue. The reason many people like to daven Vasikan and Rosh Hashanah is because people like to behave on Rosh Hashanah. We like to do our best, to put our best foot forward on Rosh Hashanah, and the best way to do that is by doing things in the most halachically preferred way. And certainly davening kivasikin is the most halachically preferred way. And that's what that practice is based on, not based on this inyan of not sleeping on Rosh Hashanah. Now, why after Chatzos does it all of a sudden become okay, according to the Arizal? The Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Arizal. So the Magen Avraham writes, Shekvar nisorer hamalach al yedei atkios vatfilos. The malach that you're interested in having him not fall asleep on the job and to defend you and to be there for you, you already woke him up with the tkios and the tfilos. This probably relates to the Rambam's description of the mitzvah of shofar, uru yishenim mishenaschem, that the shofar is what wakes us up. So if it wakes us up, it probably wakes the malach up as well. So the malach has already been mobilized to be able to help us, and therefore you don't need to make sure that he's still awake in the afternoon. Similarly, the Chayei Adam writes in Kufla Mites Sefer Aleph that la'achar ha'achila yikva atzmo lilmod, that after you eat lunch, you should try to set a seder limud, you should learn a little bit. But if you're exhausted, it's fine to sleep a little bit. Now, usually, if we're going to accept the Arizal, there's not really much to talk about. Meaning, once you accept that you're allowed to sleep after Chatzos, then this halacha sort of falls by the wayside. Especially if you go with Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's understanding that you don't even have to wake up early. Meaning, what are we saying? Don't fall asleep in shul. Okay, so don't fall asleep in shul. Maybe that's a tall order, depending how long the rabbi speaks. But you know, it's not such a big deal not to sleep from the first half of the day. However, this year it might be, because many of the shuls, or some shuls at least, are doing a double shift, right? They're having two shifts of tefillah, where they'll have a 7 o'clock minyan that finishes by 9:30, and a 9:30 minyan that finishes by 12:30 or something like that. So if you're in the early shift, you can have many hours after davening is over before Chatzos Hayom. So one should at least be careful not to go to sleep during that time. The Mata Ephraim goes on to say that achar shegomar birchas hamazon, that after a person finishes benching, even though you have plenty of hours left in the day and you'd like to take a nap before mincha, Mat Ephraim says, "Ein lasus kein. Don't do that. You should be concerned for those that say that your mazel will be sleepy if you sleep in Rosh Hashanah." So he's talking about the afternoon. And he writes, what does this mean? Gam mazalo shu malach hamelitz alav b'shamayim hu eino malamed zuchus alav. That what this means is, as we described before, the Mat Ephraim says so explicitly, that what it means is that if a person is not taking advantage of every moment of Rosh Hashanah in order to accumulate zuchuyos, in order to accumulate merits, so that he can merit a wonderful year, the malach is also not going to work so hard for him. V'achai yitein alibo ki es lasos Hashem, v'lo yanum, v'lo yishon, that this is a time that is very critical, and the moments are precious moments. We dare not waste these moments. Now, needless to say, if the whole concern is that you're showing that you're just wasting your time and you're not really interested in the din that's happening on Rosh Hashanah, if that's really the concern, then if the motivation for taking the nap is because you are exhausted from putting all of your kochos and your energy into davening properly, which a person who davens properly and davens with emotion, it is exhausting. It's exhausting to focus for that long. It's exhausting to emote for that long. If a person is getting emotional, it is physically exhausting. So Shmuel Kamenetsky and others suggest that if that's why you need a nap, because you are so thoroughly exhausted, because you put so much into the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, then certainly that's not going to be a problem of the mazel falling asleep. The Elif Lamata in Simtavkov Tzadiches, Sivka Katan Aleph writes that a Masha Kosef Sharizal Yoshin Acher Chatzos, he says, you know, before everyone jumps on this idea of the Arizal and says, oh, it's okay to take a nap in the afternoon because the Arizal did, so the Aleph Lamata writes, Halavai Sheyia Biyocholtenu La'asos Kima'aseu Bahakit Echon Mine Elef Mimashu Huzal Hayimasakin Bishinaso. Halavai, we should be able to do 1/1000th while we're awake of what the Arizal was able to do in his sleep. Don't know what that means. I don't know what the Arizal did in his sleep, but apparently the Arizal was able to accomplish more in his sleep, 1,000 times more than we're able to do awake. So to say that the Arizal took a nap on Rosh Hashanah in the afternoon shouldn't move us too much, because it doesn't necessarily mean that we're supposed to take a nap. It's hard to accept that, considering that the Mishnah Berurah quotes this. Why do you think the Mishnah Berurah quoted that the Arizal took a nap? And Magen Avraham quotes it because they think that it's halacha lemaisa, not just to tell us a bit of history. That interesting thing, the Arizal used to take a nap and he used to accomplish wonderful things in his nap. No, it's instructive. So clearly they held that that we're allowed to take a nap. So I'm not sure that although it's a fascinating comment of the Aleph Lamata, and it may be true, but that doesn't mean that the heter to take the afternoon nap goes away on account of that. The Aruch HaShulchan in Sim Tavkuf Tzadi Zayin Sif Bey says that Vegam Yesh Shein Yishenu Biyom Rishon under Rosh Hashanah al-Pi Yerushalmi. Now it's interesting, he added one word in there that the Ramah did not have. He says there are those that do not sleep Biyom Rishon de Rosh Hashanah. Biyom Rishon. The Ramah didn't say that. The Ramah sounded like it's both days of Rosh Hashanah. But the Aruch HaShulchan seems to say that this is an inyan only on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, but on the second day there's more room to be Mekel. One thing that everybody agrees about, whatever you want to say, whether you hold you're supposed to take a nap, you're permitted to take a nap after Chatzos or not permitted to take a nap after Chatzos, whether you hold you should wake up early in the morning or you don't need to wake up early in the morning, whatever you hold about everything else, one thing that everybody agrees about is what the Magen Avraham writes in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Gimel Sif Katan Vav. Vahayoshev batel ki yoshein dami. That if a person is yoshev batel, the person is just sitting around doing nothing, you might as well be asleep. The purpose of not sleeping is not just to do nothing. The purpose of not sleeping is to be mobilized to be able to do more mitzvos and meisim tovim. The Mata Ephraim writes in Siman Tavkuf Tzadiches Sif Aleph, v'kolishke nios yoshev batel shu ki yoshein v'garua mimenu. It's much worse than sleeping. Shali dezer rosho nimla machshav. Your head will fill with all sorts of things that are not in the spirit of the day of Rosh Hashanah if you're Yoshev Ubatel, if you're sitting and doing nothing. So if the choice is, and it should never be the choice, but if the choice is between being Yoshev Ubatel or taking a nap, so then for sure take a nap. It's much better than being Yoshev Ubatel. So that is the first practice I wanted to discuss, the practice of sleeping or not sleeping on Rosh Hashanah. Second practice I wanted to discuss is a very practical issue for this year. There is a requirement for every man and woman to have 3 meals every single Shabbos. There is a machlokas rishonim why women are chayiv in suda shlishis, because after all, it is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, it's a time-bound positive mitzvah, so you would imagine that women should be potter from suda shlishis. The Rishonim debate why it is that women are chayiv, but nobody disagrees, and no one that women are chayiv. No one thinks that women are in fact exempt from shalosh shudas. Everyone holds men and women are chayiv in shalosh shudas. So sometimes shalosh shudas is more challenging than others. Right during the summer months, it's easy to fulfill the mitzvah of suda shlishis. If you finish lunch by 1-2 o'clock, so the shkia is not till 8:30, so you have plenty of time in between where you're going to get hungry again. During the winter months, it's more challenging to eat shalosh shudas, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch writes hachacham einov berosho, that a person has to think when they're having their second Shabbos meal. They have to think ahead a little bit. That if shkia is at 4:30, then they have to leave some room in their stomach. They shouldn't overeat during the second Shabbos meal. Well, one of the times that shalosh shudas provides a unique challenge is when Motzoi Shabbos is again Yom Tov, because then you're going to have a sudas Yom Tov, and it's a mitzvah of having a Seudas Yom Tov and a proper Seuda on Motzai Shabbos. So it's true, every single Motzai Shabbos, there's an inyan of having Malava Malka. But how much do you need to have already for Malava Malka? And Malava Malka does not require that we cut short our eating late in the afternoon. But for a Seudas Yom Tov, the first Mishnah in the 10th Parak of Maseches Pesachim tells us, we're not supposed to overfill ourselves when we have a mitzvah of eating that night. So we shouldn't be having a su'uda after the 10th hour of the day on Shabbos if Motzai Shabbos is going to be a Yom Tov. So what should one do? So the Shulchan Aruch, so there happens to be, there is a famous comment of the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach, because the most challenging time to have su'uda shlishis, I think it happens this year actually, is when Erev Pesach is Chal on Shabbos. I'm not certain that it happens this year, but I think someone told me it happens this year. When Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. When Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, you have a real problem, because you have to eat three meals on Shabbos, but after just a few hours of the day on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat chametz anymore, and you're not allowed to eat matzah, because Yerushalmi says that anyone who eats matzah on Erev Pesach is ki'ilu bo'el arusasa bebeis chamav. It's as if he slept with a woman who he does not yet have nisuin with, who he's not yet fully married to, while she's still living in her father's house, meaning it's jumping the gun. It's not something that a person is supposed to do, so he can't eat. There are many that have the practice not to eat matzah for like a month in advance of Pesach, but that's just a minute. But the halacha is that we don't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. We don't eat chametz on Erev Pesach after a few hours of the day. So when in the world are we supposed to eat Seuda Shlishis? You're supposed to wash. Ideally, there are many deos according to Shulchan Aruch, but ideally, you're supposed to wash in Shalosh Shudas. So when exactly are you supposed to do that? So the Magen Avraham has a famous comment where the Magen Avraham says, you could be Yotzei with Divrei Torah. That Magen Avraham appears not in Siman Reish Sadi Aleph, where the Shulchan Aruch talks about Hilchos Seuda Shlishis. That Magen Avraham appears in Hilchos Pesach. And the Aruch HaShulchan explains, he doesn't really mean that you could be Yotzei with Divrei Torah. He must mean that since Anus Rachmana Patre, what are you going to do? You can't eat chametz, you can't eat matzah, there's no way to fulfill the mitzvah of Seuda Shlishis properly whenever Pesach falls on Shabbos. So he means to say, it's a melitza, it's an expression. He's saying, yeah, you'll be Yotzei with Divrei Torah. It's another way of saying, you're Potter, you don't need to eat Seuda Shlishis. But we don't have any such comment in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah that you could be Yotzei with Divrei Torah. So what should a person do about Seuda Shlishis when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? It's going to happen this coming Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch and some Reish Sadi Aleph Siv Gimel in Hilchos Shabbos, in Hilchos Seuda Shlishis, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Im Nimshecha Seudas HaBoker Ad Sheigiyas Mana Mincha, if your Shabbos day meal is going long, Yafsik HaSeuda, you can pause in the middle of the meal, V'yavarech Birch Samazon, bench, V'yitol Yadav, wash again, V'yavarech Birch Samotzi, V'yisod, and have another Lecha Mishnah, and continue eating. So stop in the middle of the meal and break the one meal into two. Magen Avraham, however, writes, hey, that's, you can't do that. That seems like you're making a bracha shein etzricha. You have to split the meals in some way or another. So probably you should take a walk in between, says the Magen Avraham. However, the Magen Avraham points you to the Matamosha and the Bach when he says that you should take a walk. If you actually look up the Matamosha and the Bach, they both say that you can either talk a little bit in learning or take a walk, implying clearly that taking a walk is not absolutely necessary. However, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Yadalit over there says that taking a walk is ma'akev. So the best etzah would seem to be to cut the meal a little short, bench, take a walk around the block, take a walk for 10-20 minutes, and then come back, or a half hour, and then come back, wash again, and have your Seuda Shlishis. The Rama writes in the Reish Sadi Aleph Sif Gimel that Mishi Odeav Shev Shalech Alachar Sheyispal Mincha Imatzi Lo Yasa Seuda Shlishis Koda Mincha, that the ideal time for Seuda Shlishis is really after Mincha. If you do it before Mincha, you're Yotzei. So taking advantage of this method of having Seuda Shlishis costs you on that Hidur of having Seuda Shlishis after Mincha. Magen Avraham writes that even if Chal Yom Tov b'motzoi Shabbos, even if Motzoi Shabbos is going to be a Yom Tov, im yodea sheyochol lachzor v'lechol kodem shah asiris, if you can catch an early Mincha minyan and you can eat your meal before the 10th hour of the day, better to do that than to split your meal into two. So the Magen Avraham suggests this second Eitzah. Catch an early Mincha minyan, and right after Mincha, go home and have Seuda Shlishis. Seuda Shlishis does not have to be any elaborate feast. It doesn't have to be a very large meal. It could be a lechem mishnah. You can take two matzahs and make a lechem mishnah and spread some jam on a piece of matzah or something, and there you have it, and there's your suda shlishes. However, the Elf Lamata points out that on Rosh Hashanah, it is highly unlikely that you would have a chance to do this, meaning it's unlikely that you're going to finish your daytime meal, go daven mincha, come back, and finish Shalosh Shudas before the 10th hour, because we daven so late on Rosh Hashanah. Davening doesn't end until after Chatzos Hayom on Rosh Hashanah. Then you come back, and you have your whole suda, so it takes a while. All these things take time. Rav Shlomo Zalman in Halicha Shlomo even suggests that maybe you should eat a little more quickly on Rosh Hashanah. Maybe you should daven a little more quickly on Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbos. Maybe the davening shouldn't go so long. Now, by virtue of the fact that we don't have shofar, of course it's going to be a little more quick. But maybe the way many shuls are doing it this year, where each of the balei tefillah are cutting it down a little bit, they're cutting down the length of time that they're davening. Maybe there won't be as many Misha Berachs this year. Maybe the Shira Yichud and Shira Kavod won't be recited slowly this year. Little things that people are cutting out of davening, so that's helpful, Rav Shlomo Zalman says. And that way, you're making room for this mitzvah of Suda Shlishis. Okay, that's the second issue. A third issue that I'd like to discuss is the issue of Tashlich, and again, also to talk about how Tashlich applies this year. Tashlich is a very misunderstood practice. It appears in Shulchan Aruch, the Raman Sim Tavkov Pei Gimel Sif Beis writes, V'holchen el hanahar, we go to a river, lomar pasuk v'tashlich b'mtzulis yam kol chatosenu. To say the pasuk that we're throwing away in the water, we're throwing away all of our sins. So you say that pasuk as we go to a body of water. That's it. That's the whole minhag quoted in the Ramah. If you look in your machzor, there are about 25 pages of very tiny print of Tashlich. That's not what it says in the Ramah. The Ramah says there are many Kabbalistic prayers and other things that were added in later. The Ramah says you go and you say that pasuk, v'sashuk m'tzulis yam kol chatosenu. People always marvel. Every time I go to Tashlich, I go, I say v'sashuk m'tzulis yam kol chatosenu, and sometimes I'll say some of the big print stuff, and then I'll walk back. Rabbi, how did you say it so fast? How did you finish Tashlich? It's not that long. Tashlich is very, very easy to say, and it's not very long. Rav Shachty used to tell us that by the Hasidim, a lot of times the Hasidim would go with the Rebbe to Tashlich because they would want it when the Rebbe is throwing away all of his averus. They want to catch his averus because his averus for them would be mitzvahs. For the Hasidim, the Rebbe's averus would be considered mitzvahs. I don't know. Okay. That's their practice. But is that what it's really all about? Do we really have the? Is it that easy that you get to throw away all of your averos just like that? The Rambam in Tshuva talks about a tshuva process. He talks about like a difficult, challenging process of aziva sachet and charat alav or kabbalah ala asid vidui. It's good enough to just go and say, here, I don't want him anymore. And that works. So that's not at all what's happening at Tashlich. What's the idea of Tashlich? So there are several reasons that are suggested by the poskim. Mishnah Berurah writes that much of what we do on Rosh Hashanah is a zecher takedas Yitzchak. And this too is a zecher takedas Yitzchak. We are recalling the great zuchus of Avram and Yitzchak in performing akedas Yitzchak. And when Avram Avinu was on his way, takedas Yitzchak, the water got up to his neck and he said, I can't go any further. And then he was able to go through. So we're reenacting that by going to a body of water. That's how the Mishnah Berurah explains. That's what it's really all about. It's not about throwing away the averos, it's about bringing up the zechus avos, just like the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, "Ma token b'shofar shel ayil." Why do we use a ram's horn for tkiya shofar? Because of akedas Yitzchak to recall the great zechus of akedas Yitzchak. The Rama in Toras Haola, the Rama himself in a sefer Toras Haola suggests an entirely different pshat, a much deeper pshat, how this is in a certain way reminiscent of Maisa Bereishis and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the entire world, and that's why when he made the world, he made a gvul, he made a border, that here's where human beings can occupy, and beyond here is water where we cannot live, and it's all about recalling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the entire world, and in that sense, to the extent that we realize that Hashem runs everything, we're going to be able to avoid doing averos. Not that we're throwing away our averos, but it's an absolute recognition of Einod Milvado, a recognition of the Ribbono Shel Olam and how he runs the world. That we're a religion that does not believe in some magical throwing away of averos. We're a religion that believes in God. We're a religion that it always comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what it's supposed to remind us of our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I saw in a sefer called Moadim L'Simcha, I think it's a sefer, very beautiful essays. I'm told that most of the essays are actually plagiarized from like scholarly articles, but he does a great job plagiarizing. He picks very good scholarly articles to write up in Hebrew. And in Moadim L'Simcha, he has a third explanation based on a Rashi in Maseches Shabbos. Rashi in Maseches Shabbos describes another minhag that happens this time of year, the minhag of Kaparos. But it describes it differently. It had nothing to do with chickens nor money. What Rashi describes from the Gaonim is that they would plant a certain type of bean plant and they would wave it around their head. And then at the end of that Rashi, he writes, what would they do with the beans afterwards? What would they do with the plant after they waved it around their head and say, Zechalifasi, Zetamurasi? What would they do with it? They would throw it into the water. So he suggests, maybe that's what Tashlich is from. Maybe that's why the Sashlich from Solusyam. Maybe that's why people are under the impression that we're supposed to throw something into the water. Now, it's not just that we go to a body of water, but we specifically go to a body of water that has fish. The Prima Gadim writes, there are several explanations for why this is the case. Who cares whether the water has fish or not? So the Prima Gadim writes that it's based on the principle, it's based on the concept that La'orer Eina Pekicha, that fish don't have eyelids. Fish don't close their eyes. So we're going to a body of water that has fish to symbolize that Kodesh Baruch Hu should always be Mashkiach Aleinu, that he should never close his eyes from us. And Mishabru also points out that fish in general are a simen bracha. They're a simen of peruvu. They're a simen of multiplying. That's what the Gemara tells us in the first parak of Maseches Ksubas. On the fifth day of creation and the sixth day of creation, those are the days that are most appropriate for a simen bracha of Pru Revu, because those are the days of simen bracha la'adam and simen bracha la'dagim. So dagim multiply a lot, so it's a simen of Pru Revu and a wonderful simen bracha. So that's why we dafka want to go to a place that there's fish. And again, similar to what we spoke about when we talked last week about the simanim that we have on Rosh Hashanah night, it's to be ma'orer tefila, it's to be ma'orer kavana. That when we think about these things, we think about when we have a physical manifestation of our tefillah, of what we're davening for, so it's a more powerful tefillah based on that Ramban that we mentioned last week. Now, in the Matan Moshe, he suggests a different thing. He says, no, fish are swimming along just fine, and then all of a sudden a net comes and chops them up. Their whole life changes and ends like in an instant. And that's what we're trying to remind ourselves, how quickly life can change, how we can't take anything for granted. And finally, the Tzeh Mata suggests that the idea of going to a place where there's fish is based on the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva used to go be makil kihilos barabim. He would gather multitudes of talmidim and teach them Torah right by the riverbank. And the Gemara says that his chaverim used to say to him, what are you doing? It's a shas gezeira. You're going to get arrested and you're going to get killed and you're going to get persecuted for teaching Torah. And he said that just like fish, when they're in the water, they're safer than when they are out of the water. So a Jewish person, when he's not learning Torah, if he feels that he's in danger, then he feels that he's in danger, kal v'chomer, when he's not learning Torah, he's in danger. And that's the mashal of the fish, that the fish says to the fox, fox, you think you're so smart because you're telling me I should come out to dry land to protect myself. This is the makom of my chiyus. This is where I live. I can't live outside of here. So Rabbi Akiva said, we can't live outside of Torah, and that's the symbolism of going to fish. Now, it is interesting. The Ramah quotes the Minhag of Tashlich. The Mechaber does not. So in the Sefer Moadim Muzmanim, he suggests probably Sephardim don't do it. They probably don't do Tashlich. However, Rav Avadi Yosef says, excuse me, I'm a Sephardi, we do it. It's based on an Arizal, and Chelek Aleph, Siman Nun Vav, Avi Chavadas. He says that they absolutely do it. And Maaser Rav, it says that the Grah wouldn't go to the water to do Tashlich, although in Shulchan Aruch, when the Minhag of Tashlich is quoted, the Gra, just like he always does in Bira Gra, he mentions Mekoros for it. Are women supposed to do tashlich? So the Aruch HaShulchan has a very strong statement that women should not go, and if they do go, then men should not go. But he's talking about a different issue. He's concerned that tashlich becomes a big social scene, and people end up picking up more averos than they drop at tashlich, so better to have separate men's hours and women's hours of tashlich. However, if Shmuel Kamenetsky just points out simply, if it's a zecher la'akeda, then like Tzeh Amata said, then maybe women are not included because there were no women at the Akedah. But if it's about Eina Pekicha, that the fish eyes are always open and we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to always have his eyes open toward us, then that would certainly apply to women as well. Now, what's the ideal time for saying Tashlich? So ideally, it's after Mincha on the first day. However, when Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, the Maril in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah writes that you shouldn't carry anything, you shouldn't do Tashlich, and the concern is because you're going to the Prima Gadim explains, because you're likely to carry something like a machzar to bring to Tashlich, and not every community has an Eruv, and based on that, the minhag became not to do Tashlich on Shabbos. And the Aleph HaMagen, he says, that's not the whole basis for the minhag. There are Kabbalistic reasons also not to do Tashlich on Shabbos. In fact, when the Maril talks about doing Tashlich on Shabbos, he writes that when you do Tashlich on Shabbos, be careful not to carry anything with you. So Shvos Yaakov in the Tshuva and Chel Gimel, some men base says, oh, you see from there that they used to do Tashlich on Shabbos, but that's certainly not our practice. Our practice is that that we do Tashlich on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, when Rosh Hashanah is Chal on Shabbos. And you can't talk about Tashlich without just quickly mentioning, I realize I'm a minute past my time already, but without quickly mentioning that one is not supposed to feed fish or feed any animals that are not your own animal on Shabbos or Yom Tov. That is an Isser, it's an Isser Midrabanan, that any animal is not Muzanosam Alecha, who doesn't rely on you for food, you're not allowed to feed. So we're not supposed to bring bread to throw in the water to feed the fish or the ducks or whoever else is around, aside from the fact that most of what the children feed them will probably kill them more than it will nourish them. But we're not supposed to feed the animals on Shabbos and Yom Tov, although the Eliyahu Rabba does quote a minhag to shake out our clothing, that you make a siman that you're shaking out clothing, and that is also like a poel dimyon, that we find that in the Navi. Nechemya HaNavi also shook out his clothing. That's meant to be symbolic of something, again, to be ma'orer, a deeper kavana in our tefillah. So again, I just want to take the opportunity to thank everyone who's joined over the past 3 weeks as we've gone through the halachas and minhagim of Erev Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah night and Rosh Hashanah day, and hopefully we should all be zoche bezras Hashem to ksiva v'chasima tova, a year of abundant bracha and nachas for all. Good night, everybody.